This is RSVNB Update, episode 314, recorded Friday, June 24th, 2011, to infinity and beyond. Hello, everybody. As we mentioned last week, I am here this week with not Chief Snake, because, well, Chief Snake is getting ready to go to France, so I'm here this week with Leonard and Kripke, I believe your two names are, apparently, according to what you guys have just been describing.
Yes.
The Big Bang Theory, yes.
Yes, we've decided that Shane is Sheldon, I'm Leonard, Asa is Kripke, and Paul is Howard, and Trekkie is Raj. So, there you are, your own RSVNB Big Bang Theory for those fans out there.
What about Chief and Mike? Who would they be?
They're too normal.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
They're far too normal to be on the Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
I guess they could be Leonard as well, but...
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, but yeah, they're far too normal.
And just for the record, I have not watched this show before. It might be things to do, but I have other things that need to be watched before that. So
it's about physics.
I know. It's awesome. Well worth taking a look at
it's
least.
So nerdy. Sheldon dresses up as the yellow shirt from Star Trek in one of the episodes. When they go to the Renaissance Fair.
No, he dresses up as Spock.
Yeah.
I'll just let you guys keep going because we have no RS updates to discuss this week. So.
We have an article for an update next week.
Yeah, there's not really much to say about it except this is a preview of the members' loyalty program. So if you're listening to this weekend, you might as well have a look at this video. But they say the update will be out on the 28th, so it's not that far away, but they say, does June 28th seem like just a lifetime away? Check out the loyalty program rewards in this video preview. And I can't help but noting that they also got the updated water in that video as well.
Oh, yay.
I really want that to come out.
So maybe it'll be another update to RuneScape that won't have the water update then, even though it's actually showing it.
Like, we're all so enthused about this water update and everything, but like it just looks so great compared to what we have now. I just wish they'd ship it.
Yeah, well, I think one of the other things about the really interesting things about the video is that they've got more what they call Eastern wear, in this case specifically Japanese style. So I think it may be a possibility, I'm just speculating here, obviously, with the new decorative katana and these new Eastern clothes that would be coming out with this update next week, could we be seeing an Eastern land sometime in the future? I don't know. I mean, I think that'd still be pretty awesome.
Well, they said that is something they want to do, but we haven't really heard much aside from rumor and speculation. It's kind of, I'd say, the same level of possibility is the fact that something like Bigfoot exists or UFOs exist, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let's hope. We can hope. Just as we can hope for a new video game console sometime in the future that would be Apple and Nintendo working together.
It's not going to happen.
I know, but one can dream, can't they?
I guess that means that's what the Eastern lands are destined for, but anyways.
Half-Life 2 Episode 3 is going to get released before that happens.
Well, a couple impossible things just happened within the last couple of years. You know, StarCraft 2 came out, nigh impossible. You know, Diablo 3 is slated to come out this year. Duke Nukem came out after 12 years.
That was a flop.
Yeah.
Doesn't
look very good at all, though.
Monumental. I think it's the Washington Monument of video game flops out there.
You know, you know, they post this in relation to this update on the Twitter and Facebook page. Oh my, what could this be? And it's a picture of the equipment thing with the new Aura slot.
Oh, looks the like mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, well, isn't Jagex famous for doing that sort of thing, though? Indeed.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll be here all week.
I know what you're talking about there. So, with that, let's just say that that will be out next week, so we'll talk more about that then. There's really nothing that we can speculate here, but, you know, it just looks like this is, from the video, that this is something that they could have done through microtransactions, but they decided to do it through loyalty benefits instead.
Yeah, I don't know why they did it like this, but at least the preview video, they've got good music in it.
Oh, really?
Impressed. I'm very impressed by it.
I had my sound off when I listened to that.
Really?
You have your sound off. How are you listening to it?
You have your sound off when you're watching YouTube.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That is good. So, cannon ammunitions. Cool costumes. Oh, yeah, I see what you mean about the Eastern stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously samurai.
The samba. Isn't that Mexican?
No. It's Brazilian.
Oh, okay. And it entertaining looks... emotes. R-O-F-L. Oh, that's great. Talk to the hand. And levitate. Alrighty. So we will look forward to that next week then. I'm crossing my fingers and hoping this will be an update that I can praise greatly. Seeing as we have not had many of those this year.
Yeah, let's hope so. Hope for the best, expect the worst.
Yep. Next up, a developer blog about developing the Majorat. A bit of insight into the ritual of the Majorat quest that will be coming out at some point in the future. Basically, the first draft is done, and it's gone through playthroughs within the Jagex mods and stuff, so they've yet to do QA and localizations and finalize rewards. So it's still a ways off. Probably at this point, I'd say September or October. I might say August, but that might be pushing it, so I'm more likely to say September based on that.
Hmm. Yeah, well, they talk about how the differences between the Majorat themselves in their appearances.
Yeah, because they weren't
interesting to read through.
Apparently, in the beginning, they were making it up as they went along with one central idea, the Stone of Jazz, which was first conceptualized at the end of the Temple of Ikov quest.
Mm-hmm.
And we only first heard of the Stone of Jazz in Wellgothic Sleeps.
And Temple of Ikov was way, way, way back.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
That was before me, so. But basically in this one, they go into a whole bunch of about how the Majorat looked and what they mean and how they're, what the initial going north meant, how it went from wilderness to now it means something else completely when we first uncovered that frozen area in the last Majorat-based quest. And they said that the Majorat month they had in 09 sometime was actually intended to be one big quest surrounded by subquests in the same way that Recipe for Disaster was, but they abandoned that idea because the quests themselves were too different from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting.
In this one, they got a whole history of the Majorat and how it worked. So if you're at all interested in this quest line like I am, you can head over to the developer blog and read it. They also link back to Postbag 28, which I don't know when it's from, but there's lots of Majorat stuff in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with the hopeful soon end of the storyline, or at least wrapping up of it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would be a nice wrap-up, don't you think? Wrap up everything on the main continent, then go to the southern continent or the eastern lands or something, maybe?
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Or it was actually kind of scary to sort of see where things were going when I was doing my general history of RuneScape series of articles. You can find them on informer.rsbnb.com under my name, Brimmick, or Brimk. B-R-I-M-M-K, and I sort of outline the history of the ages up until modern times, and it's really interesting to see that you sort of as you do the research and as you read about it more in depth, you sort of see how they're trying to get it all to a sort of central point or a central battle sometime in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the general feeling I've had as well, so it's good they're progressing towards that, but that also does leave the, going back to the Plague City biohazard questline, the elves there, because, you know, you had to go through the underground pass for that, and if I'm remembering correctly, isn't that the Temple of Ikov in the underground pass, or no? Am I thinking of something else? And okay, what's that thing in the underground pass?
That's
there?
Iben.
Oh, that's okay. Ibe, yeah. Right, gotcha.
Ikov is farther over, more towards the Seer's Village.
Okay. Right. Alrighty then. See, I did these quests way back in 2005, so it's hard to keep everything straight.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Golden Gnome Video Awards, a helping hand. So we all remember Excel, who created their first winning video and got sent over to Jagex to meet with them and everything. So he's pretty much their mascot now in relation to promoting the Golden Gnome Awards. So he has developed a tutorial video on what you can do to make a decent looking RuneScape video.
Hmm.
He goes through editing and whatnot, you know, and how you can actually make it so you don't have to type out the lines in RuneScape, which is a good thing because not many people would think about that. Also, he talks about video editors, which is good. So, not recommending Windows Movie Maker. So, I'm happy about that. Well, he recommends that to get your feet wet to realize if you want to spend more later on. But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and his stuff is really good. Very high quality. Or at least his more recent stuff. Plus, he's a good writer. So, kudos to him.
And, you know, in this first in the contest, the first one that he did, that he won, there was so much crap submitted, you know. It's just sad, some of the stuff that was there.
Oh, the Bum Bum one was just...
Oh, God, yeah. I like the dancing one with the jig, with everybody getting all those people together dancing.
That one was impressive. I mean, just the logistics
what
of
was
doing
that called?
Or...
I forget, I want to look that up.
Some sort of Irish thing.
It's on the RuneScape YouTube channel.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine did the flying mine cart one that ended up in the finals as well. That was a pretty good one. Yeah.
Alrighty. Asa, find me that video after. I want to watch it.
Which one?
I'll look for the dancing one.
Yeah, the dancing jig one or whatever.
Okay.
Next up, JX emails. How to know it's safe? First to state, JX will never contact you via email to discuss your account unless you have already contacted us with a request for support at either billingsupport@jagex.com or parents@jagex.com.
Hmm.
They will never contact you to offer you moderator status. They will never contact you to verify your account details. They will never contact you to identify that you are the account holder. They will never contact you to advise you that your account will be suspended, muted, banned, or has received an infraction, or to confirm a change of address if you have not requested it. So in other words, Jagex doesn't email you for these kind of things. Then they say you can verify the emails come from at jagex.com or at email.runescape.com by looking at the email headers, like the raw source of the email, which you can do in most mail clients. So that's something that people need to realize. It's just because it says it's from at jagex.com doesn't mean it's from at jagex.com. It could be from somewhere else. You can easily change that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the whole thing. Don't click on links in emails because they might be a hyperlink and send you somewhere else. Always check the URL bar before you enter anything on the page. And finally, do not open attachments.
Mm-hmm. And this is actually quite relevant because I've noticed through my email, there was a lot of spam links coming from...
To infinity! That...
You done, Shane?
Yeah, that was just an accident in a different window.
Okay. where was I? Oh, yes. There are a few scamming emails coming through that actually look like they're legitimate, and they're really not. So make sure you do not click on anything that looks like it might be from Jagex, because unless you've requested it and know that it's coming towards you, because it can just be like the World of Warcraft email spam links that that everyone seems to always get, regardless of whether you're playing or not. So it's always good to be careful.
Yeah, that's true, because you know, if you're getting spam emails and they can often look authentic, but you really got to take the extra time and look to see where they're actually coming from and where the images inside them are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
So, just word of warning, be careful.
And after all, those hyperlinks can take you to infinity and beyond.
Yes, that's right. I can play that now.
To infinity and beyond!
They could take you to over 9,000 different places.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Alrighty. So check your emails and be safe in your email account.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, there were also two non-documented updates this week that required a server reboot. Number one was a world queuing system. So you say you want to enter a full world, you'll be entered into a queue, and then as people enter and leave, that queue will go down, and eventually you'll reach the front of the line.
Hmm. Interesting.
Which is good for things like World 1 or World 2, where there's a lot of economic things going on.
Yeah, earlier when I tested this out, I went into World 2, and it started about 35 people, and within a minute I was in. So it's much more orderly than having to click it yourself and, you know, wait for it to respond and whatnot. So this is good.
This is very
spam,
good.
Spam clicking. Join world, join world, join world.
Yeah.
And another update was an instance world system. So if you go to the Tazar fight pits, you'll be able to play local or global matches. Local is the same as it's always been, but global will put you on an instance world so that any people from any of the worlds who want to play in a bigger pool will be put there. So, you know, this is a good thing because things like the Tazara fight pits are often neglected and nobody really goes to those places unless there's a special event going on. But if you want to go play, you can just go play with everyone else, right?
Mm-hmm. So yeah,
this would be a perfect system to bring over to things like
Dungeoneering,
Conquest, Dungeoneering, mobilizing armies, and maybe even the fishing trawler.
Basically, anything that requires a large group of people to function.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that doesn't have a world specifically for it.
Well, you know, even if it does have a specific world, you get people going through different worlds, you know, and that really is kind of hard to manage on your own because you don't know which one's going to have the most people, which one's going to be the least laggy, so you might as well just go into an instance world where everyone is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
another thing. 5 out of 5 on this update.
Yeah.
we like this.
Yeah. Another thing this opens a door to is instancing things like God Wars dungeon bosses and maybe the Corporeal Beast and some of the other big bosses. Because, you know, those are always busy and you want to be able to go when you want to go. You don't want to have to go through the entire world list finding a loot share world that works. You want to just go in and fight. So having your own instance of these would be a good thing. And, you know, they could do this quite easily if they just take the number of people in the instance and modify the drop rates accordingly so that there's some quotient so that the drop rate always comes out to be the same it is now across all worlds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an industry standard. I mean, in WoW, for example, all dungeons are instanced. So, plus, of course, they also have character locked items. So you can't trade certain ones.
Yeah, but. So I don't know. Hopefully Jagex continues going down this road, but in the news post they mentioned that it is in testing and they'll be monitoring it over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think they're just trying it out with the fight pits, and if it does work, they'll probably add it to these things that we mentioned. And hopefully they do, because I think it's a really great idea.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as we said, this update gets 5 out of 5, and so far probably the best update in June.
Mm-hmm. Perhaps
the queuing system.
Well, but then we can spend time in doing the British national pastime, or so I've heard, which is queuing. Not queue for the whole day. Yay!
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, in any case, that's it for RS updates this week, or RS news, so moving on right now to tech news. I mean, not tech news, moving on to questions.
Getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
First up is an audio question from Gnome Thorian.
Dear host of RSBNB, Gnome Thorian here. And recently, as you may have heard, the Bruins have won the Stanley Cup. I was just listening to a podcast from a few weeks ago where Warren asked the question, why would anyone cheer for Boston? And I think that Boston was very much underrated. And what do you guys think should be done about what happened in Vancouver? Thanks, Gnome Thorian.
I think we ought to let Pat go first, since that's where he lives.
Yeah, well, to answer the first question, why would anyone cheer for Boston? Very good question, because a lot of fans on that didn't follow either Vancouver or Boston that I had talked to, if they weren't a division rival, say Montreal or Calgary, they'd watch it and kind of test the waters to see which team they'd cheer for, and they probably quickly found out that Vancouver fans and Boston fans were both accusing the other team of, you know, being divers or cheap shotters or, you know, terrible teams, and that, oh, my team was way better than that and they wouldn't do that, when really the neutral observers would see that both teams were basically doing the same thing that they were accusing the other team of doing. So why would any anybody cheer for Boston? I think that was just Warren taking a shot at Jay, who is a Boston fan. And Warren, through this past month and a half or so, he made himself out to be quite the big Canucks fan, which is kind of funny because he's actually a Leafs fan. And
where are the Leafs now?
They're in Toronto.
No, I mean, where are they? Like, where were they in terms of the playoffs?
They were out of the playoffs and have been since 2003, I believe, or 2005, somewhere around there. I'd have to look that up, but not a shot at Warren, though, or any other Leafs fans out there. But why? I think a lot of casual Canuck fans, especially after winning Game 2 and going up 2-0 in the series, they severely underestimated Boston. And they always say that a series doesn't truly start until one team loses at home. And that didn't happen until Game 7. So what happened there was the Canucks seemed to get up 2-0 there, and then the fans really got incredibly high expectations, like, oh, 2 more wins and then they'll sweep them, you know, and that but sort of thing.
That
and
was expected because their goalie carried Canada to gold in the Olympics.
I wouldn't say it was he carried. I wouldn't say that Luongo.
Well, he had a big role. Goal.
He had a big role in it, but it's hard to know. I think the passion of Vancouver fans is unmatched by maybe only Montreal, and especially when.
Oh yeah, I'd have to agree with that.
Especially when they lose, because the riot that took place in Vancouver. Of course, you all saw the picture that was going around that Tunisia, people protesting against the government, Egypt protesting against the government, Syria protesting against the government. Vancouver loses a hockey game. So that riot was completely uncalled for, and basically what happens when you have a mob mentality and a whole lot of alcohol and a lot of stupid people making, or generally not stupid people, but people making stupid decisions, causing them therefore to be stupid people, and smashing up businesses that had nothing to do with the Canucks losing. It just baffles me how it could happen. That was one of the reasons why I didn't want the Canucks to lose.
I was happy they lost after I saw that.
That was pretty bad. I was pretty ashamed, and I think a lot of other people were. But the very next morning, there was a huge cleanup, and a lot of people came down to clean up the downtown core. And I remember they showed a picture of a wall that was one of the boarded up windows of the bay downtown there, and there was a whole bunch of people that wrote in permanent marker stuff all over it, saying how much they thanked people that were helping up the cleaning. So what they should do for the rioters is the in the age of cell phones, they're trying to track down people and identify them through many thousands, perhaps millions of pictures that were taken that night. And they're continuing to arrest people. And they're not being quiet about it either. Because a lot of these rioters were even in high school or college. So they would... They went, some of them, right in the middle of exams. The police would just come into the classroom, snap handcuffs on the person, and then take them away right in front of their class. Which is probably a good idea if you do something that's, stupid that
that's
everyone
a perfect
can see.
Idea. Yeah. That's a perfect idea.
Yeah, you know. So hopefully they do catch more people that were doing this. But even more so, I hope people admit that they were wrong and actually hope to pay for the damages. Because I think it was just despicable having a riot in downtown Vancouver. It's like, oh, Boston beat our team, so let's trash our city, you know? I mean,
yeah, that doesn't make sense, does it?
It's like, if you're going to trash a city, go to Boston.
Yeah. No. Well, yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't condone that either, because
Yeah. It's just kind of wrong. No, but I think the one group of fans that takes the cake in terms of crazy violence are the are Philadelphia Flyers and Phillies fans.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if, yeah, a couple of years ago when the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series, I don't even get why it's called that, because it's like, yay, the U.S. won again. Okay. When they won the World Series, they just trashed the city in celebration, and it's like, wow, if that's what you do when you win, I can't imagine what you do when you lose.
Oh, yes. Montreal does that as well. Of course,
yeah,
that
we do too here as well.
Yeah. Pretty much every Canadian city, when they lose a hockey series in the finals, they trash the city.
Yeah. I was honestly sad to see the Canucks lose. I think this year was their year to win, and you know, it was this sort of whole symbolic victory of winning both the gold in the Olympics and then winning the Stanley Cup. I mean, that would have just been incredible.
Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say again that it doesn't matter because that goal did get won by Canada. And Boston ended up having more Canadians on their team. So it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Still, I think it was Canada's cup this year, but eh. Oh, well.
I won't say Canada's cup because I would have amended that to say it was probably supposed to be Vancouver's cup. You can't tell me that people in Edmonton and Calgary would be happy at the Canucks winning the cup. In fact, a lot of them were celebrating that we lost. So
really, I didn't see that.
Well, maybe not so much in Edmonton, but definitely Calgary fans.
Oh, okay.
And if Ottawa won the cup back in 2007, I don't think Toronto fans would be too happy at that. And definitely Edmonton and Calgary, when they made their runs in 2006 and 2004, the other side of the province wasn't cheering them on. So this idea of Canada's team is quite silly.
It's all very polarized up here, you know?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, same in the U.S.
I wonder what's going to happen with Winnipeg, because they're right in the center.
Well, for now, they can't switch divisions. So there are, believe it or not, Winnipeg is going to be in the Southeast Division. So, until the realignment happens at the end of the 2012-2013 season, they're going to be in the Southeast.
Okay, then.
Which doesn't make any sense, but there you are. And they're expected to actually name them the Winnipeg Jets at the draft tonight.
Oh, good. That's good.
Which is actually starting right about now. So, there we are.
Alrighty, thank you, Noam Thori, and what a...
I think that's enough hockey for now.
Yes, we can put it to bed until October now.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds good to me. Right.
Hey there, Shane, and whoever else is the guests on the show today. I was just wondering, what is your opinion on private servers? There's debate over whether they're like legal or illegal. People like them, don't like them. I personally don't know. What is your opinion? Thanks. Sincerely, Nolan65.
First off, when private servers first came out in 07, I believe, Brad sent them sent JX a PM asking them about private servers, and private servers are illegal. Private servers continue to be illegal, and private servers will always be illegal. And if you're caught posting links to private servers or endorsing private servers on rsvnb.com, you will be banned. So, all in all, private servers are illegal, and they're really not a good thing because, A, they're using stolen code, bad, broken code from Jagex to implement them, and really there's no point to them because you're making money, or the private server people, I mean, are making money off of Jagex's hard work. So, as you can tell, we're fairly anti-private server here. And you know what? What's the point in a private server when that server is not going to replicate what you do on it into the real game? You know, like, what you're not playing RuneScape. You're playing some variant of it coded up by probably like some teenager in his bedroom in his parents' house somewhere and who's just registering a domain name to host it, you know?
Yeah, and in the RuneScape rules, if you look under the it's in the honor section, it's item number 1, macroing and use of bots or third-party software. If you look on their little questions, number 2, then item 4 under that, it says what kind of third-party software is not allowed. Modified or replacement versions of our game applets. Reverse engineering our game applets is strictly prohibited. Using a modified version of our game applet is not permitted for any reason. They're illegal.
But even
don't do it, please.
And on top of all that, they could just the owners of the private server, whoever sets them up, they could just easily take your account with the information that you put into it, you know?
So if you're one of the people out there, you're listening, and you do play on private servers, I really hope you used fake information to register, because if not, you just gave someone your RuneScape details. Ha!
Yeah.
And not only that, but the details of your personal details of the contact information that you had to put in when you registered in the first place. So they probably also know where you live, your name, your age, your birth date. It's just not a good idea to get into that at all. Just play on RuneScape.com and have that as it. And we would suggest that anyone who is playing on private servers to stop playing on private servers, and anyone who's listening that haven't, to not get into it. So thank you very much for your question, Nolan65. I hope that answers it pretty good.
Yeah, very good. Just to clarify, there is no gray area. It's not a question for debate. It's not that they are legal or that it's some sort of, oh, they never said that we couldn't. Don't.
There's never been much of a debate on it.
At least that I've seen. Or
there was for the first day or two when it first came out before we got the reply from Jagex.
Yeah. They've pretty well cleared that up.
I'm trying to look for that sticky on the forums and I can't find it.
Try RS General. RS General. Might have moved it.
Yeah, it's not there. I wonder where it is.
Alrighty.
I shall look for it.
Next up from the German. Hello, Shane, Kala, and Asa. This week, I'd just like to know which one of these three items I should buy and why. The Bandos Godsword, the Zamorak Godsword, or the Dragonfire Shield. Danke, the German. Happy birthday to me.
It depends on
what you're wanting to do. And yes, happy birthday. Wouldn't you guys say it depends on what you're wanting to do?
Yeah, I'd say so as well. Isn't the Zamorak Godsword the least used one?
Yes, it's used in a very small number of cases for boss fighting because it special freezes the target in place.
Mm-hmm. And also, doesn't it, Never mind. I personally would go with either Zamorak Godsword or Dragonfire Shield. Zamorak Godsword because it has that cool little freezing ability, and Dragonfire Shield because then you can use it with like a chaotic longsword if you're doing dungeoneering. So, plus it's I think a little bit more versatile in that it's got the best defense bonuses a shield can have, or at least it's the best one out now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think so.
Plus, it's got the Dragonfire attack. So.
Yeah, that as well. If you are fighting dragons, I would recommend the Dragonfire Shield. But if you're just doing general combat, I would probably recommend the Bandos Godsword. Because the Bandos Godsword just hits harder. And, you know, if you're wearing armor, you're not going to need the... Like, if you're just fighting generic monsters, you're not going to... Like, if you're, say, fighting Abyssal Demons, you're not going to need the Dragonfire Shield. The Dragon Defender is more than adequate for that if you're using a one-hand weapon. So you might as well just... get the extra strength bonus with the Bandos Godsword.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
also,
if you have good armor, though.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, even like I'm just saying from my perspective as well. I use Barros and that's perfectly fine for me. Barros and Dragon Defender.
Mm-hmm.
And also the special attack on the Bandos Godsword hits 10% more damage and reduces. The opponent's combat stats.
So they're all great choices. So I don't. Well. I don't. Yeah, they're all great choices. I don't think you can really go wrong with any one of them.
Yeah, and they're also cheap now too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, they price dropped about a month ago, didn't they?
Yeah, quite substantially. Like the Dragonfire Shield is only 13.4 mil now. I had one I bought for around 28, and I sold it for 35, and then it just started going down after that.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Might be time to invest in one of those again. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, well, prices usually fluctuate, and don't they usually go down over the summer?
Yeah, no? That's
yeah.
Something. I don't know. So confusing.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. Kala, next one?
Sure. This question is from JBobMan7. I am currently going for 99 construction. Are sacred clay hammers worth it? Or should I save up my money? I have currently 1,100 out of 4,973 needed sacred clay points. Also, I'm 81 farming is getting 83 worth it for spirit trees. Thanks from JBobMan7.
Yeah, you're currently level 68 construction. I would definitely go with the sacred clay stuff because that, in effect, cuts your XP and money you have to spend in half. So going from that level, yes, I would go for it.
Yeah, it doubles your XP, yeah? And
yes.
Cuts
yes.
The amount of money that you have to spend.
Yeah. Why, what did I say?
You said it cuts your XP and the money.
Oh, okay. It doubles your XP and cuts the money.
Well, that's even better.
Yeah. And on farming, what do you think?
No, you can use the pie. You can use the, I forget which pie it is. I think summer pie.
Yeah,
to,
summer pie.
To boost up enough to plant those spirit seeds. And, you know, there is the ability to protect them using 5 monkey nuts, a monkey bar, and a ground sucut tooth. So there's really no need to get the full 83 for planting the thing if you don't want to.
So wait, you're actually saying that he shouldn't train farming?
Well, no, I'm saying
that he doesn't need to train farming.
Yeah, because if you're just using it to get 83 smithing to plant a spirit tree, you might as well just use the pie, right?
Yeah, I did that same kind of thing when trying to get when getting into the fishing guild for the first couple of times.
Yeah, yeah.
I just used the Admiral
not
pie.
Not summer pie. The garden pie is what you want.
Oh, yeah. Summer pie is agility bonus.
Yeah, garden pie boosts your farming level by 3. So, like, sure, by all means, train farming, but if you're just wanting to get a spirit tree at level 81, you don't want to train anymore. Just use the garden pie.
And I definitely say that the spirit trees are definitely worth it in themselves.
Yeah. And after you do the most recent gnome quest, you can have 2 planted spirit trees.
Which is very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's definitely no shortage of ways to get around in RuneScape. So, I think if you do quests, you can pretty much get anywhere within 5 minutes.
Oh, less than that. If you have a decent magic level, have done, heck, if you've just done like Grand Tree and Tree Gnome Village, let's see, maybe get a couple of items like the Ectophile and that kind of thing, you can get anywhere within about 2 max.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Alrighty. Thank you, J-Bob, man. Asa, read the next one.
This is a question from Racer111. Hello, Shane, Kula, and Asa. I have 2 questions. First is for Shane. Have you done any coding for computer games? I want to get into this as a career, and if you have, what would you recommend? I'm currently learning C++ on Valve's Source Engine, and it's probably not the best for learning to code. Second question. If you can only get a certain number of do you know if you can only get a certain number of strange rocks per day / hour / whatever time period for the Shattered Heart diversion and distraction? I usually get rapid amounts of strange rocks when I start out, but then it decreases as the day goes on. Thanks, and have a great day. Racer111.
Well, for starters, I'm not much of a games programmer, but I can say that C++ is a language that's used in games programming, so you're going to need to know it. But as you say, it's probably not the best way to learn programming because, you know, people say they want to be a games programmer, but they don't sometimes understand the ramifications of that it often or it does require going to school and getting some kind of computer science degree or something, and then maybe even more specialization in games programming, which is very math intensive. So that is one of the first things I would do, is if you really want to make games, that you need to find a computer science program somewhere and enroll in that and maybe get some further training in games programming through that program. But as for starting to learn programming, if you're going down that road, definitely you would want to work with Java. And we do have articles for that on RSBNB Informer. I've written before. I'll put those in the notes. So I'm always glad to help with that.
Yeah, and Source Engine is a really interesting thing, but yeah, like you said, it does require further training, and it's probably, from what I've heard, some of the most complex programming anyone can do.
Oh yeah,
because so many conditionals and so many, like for example, enemy AI is supposed to be ridiculously difficult.
Well, yeah, all AI is because, you know, it's a question of how do you take something that's governed purely by logic and make it seem like it's an actual human that's making these decisions? Well, the answer is with logic. You can't, because you can't anticipate every change. So you need to branch off into a different realm of programming, what we call learning programming, where you program something and then based on what inputs are given, based on user actions and surrounding environments, the program itself adjusts based on this and then does stuff, rather than actually you programming in all the different potential branches that your program could follow. Because, you know, when you use Windows or any other operating system, even web applications, Facebook, Twitter, and the like, you're just following branches of logic code, and then that logic executes and then shows you what you see on the screen. So it really is simple in that regard, and AI is the thing that's going to be causing the most problems down the road for this kind of stuff and different kinds of programming paradigms. So definitely you'd want to get into a computer science thing and start learning Java.
Yeah, second? I'm actually really interested in that field, and it's something that I'd at least like to learn about. I don't know if I want to do it as a career, but I actually live relatively close to Valve's headquarters in Bellevue, Washington. So, dreams of getting like an internship there. That'd be awesome.
Okay. Next thing about the rocks, the Shattered Heart rocks, I don't think there's any way that they appear. I do know that the first one usually appears quickly, and then the second one takes a bit of time, but I don't think there's any limitation on how fast they can come. Have you heard anything?
I personally have not. I think it is just kind of a luck thing, because I've seen or I've heard of people getting the first one within, you know, a minute of starting, and then some people getting the second one, you know, within another 5 minutes, and others doing it for 2 hours and only then getting the second one.
Yeah, that's been my experience as well with that.
I think it's just pseudo-random.
Yeah, it could be. But they'd have to put something in there to say that it happens at a certain time after, so.
Yeah.
Kali, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. I just wanted
just
to make
listening.
Sure. You're awfully quiet there. Alrighty, I don't think there's anything else to say on that. Personally, I don't do Shattered Heart.
Yeah, I don't really. If I get the rocks, then I bank them and then wait to put them on later.
Okay. Kala, next one?
Sure. This question is from Tappy. To the brave and valiant hosts of RSBNB Update, I have a few questions for you. What is the strangest thing that has happened to you in real life, like near-death experiences, etc., and who is your role model? that. Thanks. Keep up the great show. Love from Tappy.
What is these questions are always hard, aren't they?
I can't think off the top of my head what the strangest thing that happened to me in real life was. I don't really have a strange life or something like that where something happens.
It's not like locusts started invading or something to signal the beginning of something, you know? But one strange coincidence that I had and I still talk about in relation to RuneScape and real life is the day I was a few years ago going to get my wisdom teeth removed. I did a clue on RuneScape just before that, and it was my best clue ever, a result of about 23 million GP. So
yeah, you got a third age plate bottom. Yeah.
So I always say that if I want to get any good clues again, I need to go get some kind of medical procedure done.
Did you completely swell up after that, or?
Not really, no.
Oh, well, at least I have friends that after getting their wisdom teeth pulled end up looking kind of like chipmunks.
Yeah, I've had. Everyone has a different experience with wisdom teeth, right? You can feel completely normal afterwards, or you can be out for a week, you know? So.
Yeah. Lots and lots of ice cream. Yay!
Yeah. I've actually never had my wisdom teeth out, so... They haven't even fully grown in yet, but there might even be room in my mouth for them, according to the dentist, so there we are.
So do you guys that was a strange thing for me. I don't know if you guys have any.
Oh gosh, strangest thing. I am drawing a blank.
Me too. I was trying to think about one beforehand, but my life is really normal. It's like extremely normal, which is a contradiction, right?
MLIA.
Yeah.
Ain't that right, Howard?
No, he's Leonard. He's Leonard.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Yes. As for role model, I don't even think I have one. I never had one growing up either. I never looked to someone as saying, gee, I want to be just like them when I grow up.
Yeah, I'd have to agree in the same thing as well with that.
I think the lame response could be my dad, right? But everyone would say that. They looked at him at your parents as being role models to you when you're growing up.
Oh, you caught yourself.
There's always... What?
You caught yourself. You were going to say everybody would look to your dad.
No, I wouldn't say that. No, everyone growing up, they can always look towards their own parents and for experiences. And I think you can, doesn't matter what age you're at, you can always learn lots from them. I think as you pass your teen years and you get a bit older and start being more independent and moving out and that sort of thing, you start to appreciate what you learned.
Yeah,
of course,
when you're teenagers,
they're the stupidest people in the world, right?
Yeah.
You don't listen to me. You don't understand what I'm going through. That sort of thing, you know. So,
of course, yeah, and the wonderful little irony is that you learn later that they actually kind of do understand what you're going through.
They went through the exact same things, quite a few years previously.
Yeah. You don't understand me. You were never 15.
Yeah. It's hard to think of your parents as being kids and teenagers and rebelling against their own parents, you know?
Yeah.
And we're like, we'll never be that when we're parents, you know?
Well, I think it was when saying that what was it? Children are destined to repeat the mistakes of their parents or something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but you know, we learn parent. If you become a parent, you end up all of what you know of parenting is what you saw your parents doing.
Yeah.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
I have also had good parents in there, good role models for me. So
that's good.
That is good.
Yeah, unless you want a kind of cheesy religious response, which I could give, but I'm a friend from doing that.
Let's
leave religion and politics out of this for now.
Yeah.
Well, I think that sums up that question. Sorry, we couldn't offer more answers of sub-content, or what's the word I'm looking for? Substance. There we go.
Oh, though. So. No, sorry. I just remembered one that I think as a sort of good choice. Even though this person is fictional, I think this is the first time we're going to bring this up. But Captain Jean-Luc Picard.
Oh, I knew it. I knew you were going to say it.
Really?
I knew you were going to bring up Star Trek.
Why? Oh, the dude was an awesome peacemaker. He tried. Do you really want me to justify this?
Okay. I thought you were saying he would have made a good parent. But I can see role model.
As a role model, I think he's a great role model. He's looking down at me right now. I've got a poster up behind my computer of Star Trek The Next Generation. Woohoo! It's not just Shane. It's not just Shane. But yeah, the guy really... He knew how to make peace, and he knew how to make good, logical decisions that would try and benefit everyone. So, yeah. Yay, Star Trek. Yay, Gene Roddenberry. Sorry for all of you that hate Star Trek. I still don't understand why.
Yeah, I don't understand that either. You pretty much just summed up why the main difference there, and why Star Trek is good, and why it's mind-enriching and intellectual and whatnot.
Yeah, and
haters
gonna hate, yeah. But I mean, even if you look at the original Star Trek, they did some of the absolute first things in American television. You know, they had a completely interracial crew. You know, you've got Chekhov, a Russian. You've got Spock, an alien. You've got Uhura, who's a black woman and isn't just a serviceman. You know, she actually. If I remember correctly, she actually inspired Whoopi Goldberg to become an actress.
And there's also the Japanese guy.
Sulu, yeah. So, you know, you've got this whole big mix, and the kiss between Uhura and Kirk was the first interracial kiss ever on television. So, yeah.
Yep. So that's where we come from. So I'm happy with this question. Asa, you just justified that question. Thank you.
You're welcome. Much obliged.
Alrighty, last question comes from Waffle233. Does anybody want to read it, or should I?
I'll read it since he's doing text news.
All right.
Okay. Dear panel of manly macho men. Please give your thoughts on this and what side of the issue you take. Peace through strength versus peace through weakness. And number two, also, who was the most annoying kid in your school, grades 1 through 12? And what made him annoying? Did he ever do anything that made you want to hit him? Thanks, Waffle233. Sorry. Let me correct that. Waffle233!
Point, so. Doesn't yes. it sound like Waffle has a bit of pent-up anger here?
subliminal messaging, perhaps. No, shall we go for the first one? Peace through strength versus peace through weakness. I don't know what you mean by peace through weakness, because if you show weakness, then people won't want peace. Right? I think really the only way you can do it is peace through strength. I think if you can feign weakness to get peace, perhaps. Hmm.
That's one of the things I was.
Philosopher impressions.
That was one of the things I was really concerned about when Obama took office, is that he'd be going into this peace through weakness thing. But he surprised me numerous times in this area, so I commend him.
I think he surprised everyone, Shane, for various reasons.
Yeah. I personally like Obama. He's done some good things, and I'd have to agree. I'd have to say peace through strength. I think what he means by peace through weakness is sort of subservience and trying to appease everyone, which is practical.
Chamberlain alert.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing. World War II, for anybody who isn't aware of this, before you Americans got involved in the war, there's this thing going back and forth between then British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain and Hitler, and it just led to what we know as World War II, and that they kept giving Hitler things, and he kept wanting more and more until they finally had to say no, and then Hitler took Poland, and off we go.
Yep.
So
we waited a day. That was our shining moment, is that Canada didn't declare war with Britain. We waited a day to declare war. We are our own independent country. Of course, the U.S. waited 3 years, but that's besides the point.
All the U.S. saw it as Europe's war, so.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to justify war or any of that, but, you know, it's kind of like the, what was it, big stick doctrine, you know, talk softly and carry a big stick. I kind of like that, where you can sort of feign weakness, feign timidity, and then they come at you and you bash them hard.
Isn't that basically
Roosevelt? Wasn't that his description? Because he had a cane?
Kind of. I think that's Monroe, but...
Oh, okay.
Isn't that the Cold War, though? You come at us with this, we'll smack you harder?
No, that was Theodore Roosevelt. Sorry, my bad. Ha. Yeah, that was Roosevelt. Right. Yeah, the Monroe... Yeah, big stick ideology, or big stick diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you do... You don't need to bash everyone to get them to respect you. You just need to bash the ones that count.
That
of course, that's
Libya?
Very hegemonic, but I think they're not a direct threat to the U.S., and so I don't think the U.S. necessarily needs to get involved.
Who helped you fight your civil war? Who did anybody?
Yeah. Well, the French did.
Who? Okay, French. But...
Not the Civil War. They didn't help the Americans win the Civil War. They helped with the War of Independence.
Oh, no, yeah. No, I'm talking about the Civil War. Did anybody help with the Civil War?
No.
Exactly.
It's just the U.S. thing.
Yeah. So why should countries be going in and bombing stop a Civil War?
No, but in this case, then it's a thing that threatens both peace and its immediate war crimes against the population. And so then the UN feels obligated to step in. But at least it wasn't the U.S. independently saying, okay, you're not going to step in, so we're going to step in. No, they waited for the UN decision and then said, okay, you want us to step in? Let's step in.
I don't like that.
Yeah.
There's a huge topic on this on the forums.
There is? So
there is, I believe. What was it? The demanding
Libya and Jen.
No, I believe it was the U.S. congressman demands Iraqis to pay war.
Oh yeah,
that was that just one. Ridiculous. Come on.
Oh, yeah, I got some
air, thinking. So.
Yeah.
I got some good laughs in there, too.
We're kind of really getting off track here.
Yeah.
Now, that would be peace through strength.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but that was just ridiculous. It's like, okay, you want them to pay the U.S. for deposing the dictator and ended up destroying half of the country. I don't know how this makes sense, because let's see, cash, oil, a lot, but it's mostly still in the ground. It's like,
it's like I said in that topic, you don't have to get paid back. You get paid back by having a stable country there and ability for U.S. business. That should be more than enough.
Yeah, yeah. You're probably going to get it back in taxes, hopefully.
Oh, dear. Yes, that has gone too far, so I'm going to say that we're going to move on to the most annoying kid in the school now, which I went to 3 schools for that range, so it's kind of hard to say.
Oh, I did 2, so.
I also had 2.
I think it was one annoying kid that ended up following me from elementary school up to middle school and then to high school through all 12 grades. And for whatever reason, he didn't like me. And that was really annoying because I couldn't figure out why. At that time, I thought it was very inconceivable, but that someone maybe could like someone, that someone could not like someone for no reason at all.
Maybe it's because you wear glasses.
Who knows? It's possible. But
weird.
I don't know. I thought that was annoying. I don't think he was an annoying kid. He just didn't like me at all.
Did you ever want to pop him one in the face?
He looked like a weasel, so I don't know.
Should we take that as a yes?
Oh, I don't think I ever wanted to hit anyone. Seriously.
Oh, I've wanted to hit people. Not seriously damage them, but just sort of give them a little, you know, just a little pop in the nose. Nothing
love
to
tap.
Really. Yeah, kind of. You know, maybe, let's say, sometimes there were times that there were sometimes, at least for me personally, that you really wanted to have so much fun that you wanted to give him a kick in the pants.
Okay, I've never heard that before, but that's
neither have I.
It's a kick in the pants. You've never heard that? Yeah. There were some times when it's like, okay, you're just irritating me way too much. Stop. Oh, polish that boot tip up.
I'm going to say that I can't remember any specific things, so I'm going to have to say pass, because that might cause things that are not supposed to, or might not be appropriate here to come out.
Yeah, I personally never did anything, because but there were some annoying people. It's like the people that I liked, the people that I didn't care, and other people that just, stop.
I think how I fixed that problem is the people that I didn't like, I just never hung around with them, never talked to them, never did anything around them, you know, that sort of thing. You just end up ignoring them, and they ignore you in turn, you know, so.
Yeah, why clash heads when you don't need to?
Yes, that is peace through strength.
Yeah, but then it's a different kind of strength. It's an inner strength. Instead of being into submission, it's showing that you can agree to disagree and therefore go your separate ways.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Waffle 233, for your questions.
Alrighty.
Tech news.
Yep. And this is something that Gull is very excited about. Firefox 5. Has been released.
I didn't say I was too excited about it. I was kind of surprised by it, because you remember a few months ago we just had Firefox 4, and then they updated it to Firefox 4.0.1, and now it's Firefox 5 again, you know?
Yeah, the whole reason for this, anybody who's wondering, is that because Chrome uses this different kind of versioning scheme where new features added to the browser are added quickly, and that's when the main version number gets increased. We're on Chrome 12 right now. I know Chrome 13 has some interesting features that are on the way, so Firefox has adopted a similar principle as just doing silent releases and nothing really that major comes through them. So hence why we're already on 5, and we're going to get to 7 by the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They're on a 3-month cycle now. So some of the new things in Firefox 5 include CSS animations, the add-on SDK, add-on builder, do not track technology, which inserts something into the header telling people that, hey, I don't want to be tracked. Canvas technology, they made it faster. Canvas is a piece of 2D graphics code in there that allows websites to draw stuff and whatnot. Like, that's what our Skill of the Month graphs are made from. And in general, just lots of other performance and fixes and stuff. So this is going to be the new thing in that we're going to see faster releases of Firefox. And that number on the end, like 5.01 or 4.0.1, those are just bug fixes to the release. So That's how that's going to work. And the good thing about this is it's auto-update now for everyone.
Which is very, very good.
Yeah. If you're at 4, you're getting updated to 5, and if you have 3.6, you're getting updated to 4, so that's good. Because that was one of the problems before with Firefox, is, like, for instance, when Firefox 3.5 was out, you could get people still using Firefox 2, which was really annoying.
Yeah, I think they should just auto-update it, right? That's the problem with Internet Explorer.
Yep. that's a problem with a lot of software. They just need to start forcing these updates down people's throats and doing them in the background, because if you do that, people are going to update and they're always going to have the most secure version of the browser, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially with things like this, you know?
Yeah. Speaking of browsers, have you tried Chrome yet?
No, I haven't yet.
You should.
I probably should, yes.
You should. It's like a totally renewed and refreshed browser. So, but you know, Firefox 5 still has the same problems that Firefox 4 did, and that it's not as revolutionary as Chrome did. And it's like the old standby thing that everybody uses, and it's not the thing with the new ideas. So that's a little disappointing, but it works and it's everywhere. So that's, I guess, what you trade for that.
Yeah, and it's better than Internet Explorer, so.
You know, I would say that if you're on Windows, Internet Explorer is an okay browser to use. I'd put it actually ahead of Firefox on Windows because it's just got a more native experience.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't update to the latest Internet Explorer. I mean, I've been using...
Well, yeah. If you have 9,
old Internet Explorer. Oh yeah, I mean nine is better, but a lot of people are still back at like 6. It's like, update your Internet Explorer, please, for me. Don't
Get
let the viruses
rid of all those
in.
Toolbars and add-ons takes up half the page.
Yeah, that's another thing. If your browser is slow, you really ought to check to make sure that you don't have any of those toolbars and add-ons. So that slows them down. So
I use 2
Anyways.
Toolbars, and that's it.
Firefox 5 is out. Next up, PCI Express cables could take us to 32 gigabit per second speeds by 2013.
That is pretty fast.
Yeah.
Wait, how fast?
USB 2 is 480 megabits per second. USB 3 is 5 gigabits per second. Thunderbolt is 10 gigabits per second. And this PCI Express cable would be 32 gigabits per second.
Wow. That's frightening.
See, the way they're able to do this is that PCI Express is the standard connector that pretty much every computer uses, even Macs and whatnot. So what you do is you take a connector on the motherboard and you convert it into a cable, and then vendors can make devices that connect to these as if they're actually plugging directly into a PCI Express port. So that's why we get the good speeds. So the limits for this are endless. I mean, like, massive RAID arrays of SSD drives could take benefit of this. Standalone video cards, encoding systems. Options are endless, really, with this. So But this is just a step along the way because, you know, Thunderbolt, released earlier this year, does have the ability in the future to go up to 100 gigabits per second. So it's going to be interesting to see what this high-speed war is going to look like because, as we see already, USB 3 is nothing compared to Thunderbolt in this, which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because we've had USB 2 for so long, and we're finally just getting USB 3. In fact, there aren't many peripherals out there, so it's a little unfortunate for USB, I think.
More speed. We must have more speed.
Yep. I'm waiting for an external video card.
External graphics cards for laptops.
Yep.
That would be good.
You have a little ultra-portable laptop for going away and stuff, but when you get back, you just plug in your extra video card and you got all the power you need.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
You could upgrade a laptop. That would be very nice.
Yeah.
Yep. So we just have to hope with this, because it's just the early part of the spec, we just have to hope that people adopt it and that it actually stays on time.
Mm-hmm.
Last piece of news, the Apple Store, the retail stores, have said that people will be able to come to their stores in July to download Lion if they don't have a decent connection at home.
Why is it like a hard drive hog? Gigabytes. That's not too
much. 4 gigabytes. And it's available through... It's going to be... Yeah, so... If you have slow internet, it's a good thing. Because, you know, the only way Lion is going to be released is through download.
Fascinating.
And it would take me quite a bit of time to download it on my connection, so yeah. Of course, there isn't an Apple store here, so there you are. They still don't have...
That's unfortunate.
No.
Wait, where are you, Kula?
Vancouver Island. There isn't one on Vancouver Island. There is one in Vancouver, I believe.
There is one in Vancouver.
I think there's actually multiple in Vancouver. I went to the one in Edmonton once. That was fun.
You were here since that opened?
It had just opened like the year beforehand or something.
Oh, okay. Right, that must have been before you came back.
Mm.
Oh, okay. Alrighty then.
So, that's good that they're letting people download, of course.
Yeah, you know, because lots of people already go there just to check their email and go on Facebook. So, why not, right?
And take a lot of pictures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. With the photo booth application.
Mm-hmm.
And, that will be out sometime in July, and just another piece of little Mac OS news for those of you guys using OS 10 out there. 10.6.8 of Snow Leopard has been released, and there are lots of security updates in it, so you really should upgrade if you are a Mac user. And it's a small update, so it's okay. It was only 250 megs for me.
Yeah, it was pretty small for me as well.
It was pretty small for me, too, in that it was non-existent.
Alrighty, well, that's it for tech news this week. Hope you guys have enjoyed that. Let's move on. Cully, you got a skill of the month update for us?
Indeed I do, and it is getting close to the end now. And it looks like Pris has certainly run away with her lead, keeping increasing that. She's pretty close to 10 million XP gained since the beginning of the month at 9.7 million right at the moment. And it's still a somewhat stagnant race for second with RRMan 100 next in second with 5.6 million and James with 5.162 million. Then it's another stagnant race for fourth in Metal Maniac 9 has 2.3 million, The Lion 777 has 1.7, Brian B has 1.3, and it goes down below a million from there on. And everybody except for one person has gotten XP this month. So,
yay. Except for Sunset Fish.
Yes, everyone except for one person. How dare you, Sunset Fish, get XP? And Shane, you've got over 9,000 XP.
Yeah.
Please play it. Please play it.
No. I got a PM from RRMan100, and he said it's not Railroad, it's Real Robots.
Hmm. Interesting.
Last week I said Railroad Man, so it's Real Robots.
Real Robots. Interesting.
Real Robots. Yep. And the July skill of the month is agility, if anybody wants to sign up for that. I already got 99, so I think I've done my bit.
Yeah, you could sign up pretty quickly, actually. Get it?
You could say that it's an agile process.
Yes.
It is an agile process, because you just enter your name and press one button, and there you go.
Mm-hmm. And it's your display name, not your farm's name.
Yeah. Mm. That's true. And we can't change names if you change your name, so you're kind of out of luck there.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to sign up right... rather, if you're going to sign up, make sure that you change your... if you're going to change your name, make sure you change your name before signing up, please.
Or just wait until afterwards. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Alrighty then, that is Skill of the Month, and I believe Asa has a pick for us.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it again? As I know Kala likes hearing things again.
Sure.
My pick for this week is... The Adventures of Dr. McNinja! Ta-da! No. Yeah, The Adventures of Dr. McNinja. It's a webcomic. That kind of explains it. It's more like your traditional sort of superhero comic, but without any superheroes. And it's sort of funny, wacky, crazy. When you go to the site, the best thing to do is... click on the, you can click his face to learn more about it. But then there's a little bar below one of the ads. And if you go to the first edition called Meet the Doctor and His Friendly Staff and press go, you can then start reading it. And it's kind of like comic books where a giant series of comic books where a page comes out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So it's good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fun. It's funny. There are always little messages in the hover over, kind of like XKCD. It's just kind of nerdy, funny, crazy, wacky. The first couple of issues are just in black and white, but later on it then switches to color. It's really good stuff. The author has just written a new Deadpool series called Fear Itself. And so it's much in the same sort of vein. If you like Deadpool as a comic book character, you'll probably like Dr. McNinja. And if you just want sort of a laugh with some action, you know, this is the webcomic for you.
Alrighty.
It does look pretty funny.
It is.
Not much of a fan of webcomics, but that's okay.
But yeah. I am, so there we are.
Yeah. So that's
okay.
The Adventures of Dr. McNinja. Oh, and
at
so he Dr. has
McNinja.
A...
DrMcNinja.com.
Yes, DrMcNinja.com. And so just quick, he has a receptionist who is a gorilla, a giant gorilla. And his sidekick is a young Mexican boy with a mustache called Gordito that rides a velociraptor. So.
Sounds great
already.
Yeah,
that definitely sounds out of this world, doesn't it?
Yeah, and so he's a doctor that is also a ninja. And so
hence the name Dr. McNinja.
Yes. But he's Irish, so.
That explains the Mick.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it now. Okay. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have any achievements of the week, because for some reason right now I can't access the community high scores, but I will put them in if they are restored by the time this show gets published, so look for those in the notes if possible. So skipping ahead...
You have your own pick for us, don't you?
Well, it's not really a pick. It's more of a line between what have I been doing and what has RSBNB been doing. Seeing as that the thing called RuneWire 3 is now out.
Yay!
I know it was a very hard thing to do, because you know it was a complete redo of the entire code base, and quite frankly, it released with very few issues aside from. Little ones that were able to be fixed quickly. So we were happy about that.
And but may I as say, said, it looks awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Because, you know, there are people that say they don't like the UI, but I don't get how you can't like the UI, because that UI is the same UI as the rest of RSBNB. So that really doesn't make sense. So if you didn't like that UI, why didn't you say something sooner? But in any case, that is out now. Some of my favorite features that I rolled into this are the new category system, which is done through hashtags, search, image cropping, and all in all, just a smoother experience in terms of viewing replies and getting back to where you were beforehand. And the fact that it's actually a real timeline now is that you could just actually keep scrolling all the way through it, and it will load the pages as you go. And there you go. So,
has the add map point feature been there since RuneWire 2, or is that a new thing?
Yeah, that's been there since RuneWire 2.
Ah. Okay.
You didn't know?
No, I didn't. No, I just didn't realize, because I have RuneWire, it's just I don't use it much.
Okay. That's yeah,
people
the
didn't
map
use
point.
It too often.
Yeah, and plus it was a little confusing, because sometimes a map point would refer to an event location, but now with event posts gone, a map point is just a map point, which is something I'm happy about, because I don't like it when the user interface thing can be serving multiple purposes at the same time, which is really not good. So,
yeah.
And I've spent lots of time fixing bugs on this over the past 48 hours, for instance. The map link was not appearing when you posted a new post. The reply button, or the save button on replies, was disappearing when you would move your mouse out of the reply field, which is fixed now. If it's not appearing fixed for you, update your cache. There was a problem with the main page RuneWire inclusion. The report button was also disappearing sometimes, and there was a temporal inaccuracy in the timeline in terms of time code, so that some posts would appear before others when they weren't supposed to.
Hmm. So it's like RuneWire tweaks and fixes.
Yeah, primarily, actually. Yeah, that's what we primarily had to do after that. And I'm happy with the way it's come out. I think I just got one more feature that didn't make it into release that needs to be put in, but that's a question of UI and whatnot. And depending on where I want to take this going forward, there might be grounds to do it a certain way, because I do have about three other ideas for the next 6 months that I want to get implemented on this thing. So, and it's a fun experience too, you know. If you know what you're looking for in RuneWire, you can find pretty much anything that'll give you a good laugh, you know, every day, and like it'll just make you laugh, and you'll be happy you used RuneWire and you stuck with it, you know. So, but this is everywhere, from like videos to images to the front page posts that people make. So that's what I've been doing primarily.
It really is quite useful.
Quite.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's nice to have it integrated with the forums. So.
Yes, that was our main motivation for doing this.
Mm-hmm. and I think it worked out quite nicely.
Yeah. I like just being able to sign into one thing and then being able to go to my RuneWire, go to forums, and check everything. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, then. I'm glad we've accomplished that.
Good work.
Yep.
Yes, quite good.
I don't think I've been doing much anything else. I'm close to 95 strength, so I'll be getting that this weekend, and that's about it.
What about other things?
Not really, no. Not really, no, this week. It's been pretty much just RuneWire and RuneWire alone.
Ah.
And sleep.
Fixing all that, yeah.
And what?
And sleep.
Oh, yes. Well, kind of short sleeps the days when RuneWire was out, but that's okay. Ace, I go next.
What have I been doing? Well, I bought this new microphone. Hope you like it. And some more equipment.
And, you know, just as you said that, your internet connection started to lag a bit, so.
Murphy's Law. I blame it on that. Yeah, got some new equipment, been practicing some good amount of guitar, went to a college orientation, so getting into that, and yeah, just sort of finalizing decisions and having a little fun as we go as well, so yeah, setting up like bank account and that kind of thing. Not much in terms of RuneScape, kind of busy, doing other things as well. Love to play Left 4 Dead. It's my is always my Friday night game, so. Yeah.
StarCraft is my every night game.
Ah.
At this great game yesterday where I saved the day, both Mike and Tim were completely dead.
Oh, wow.
And I brought the game back and won it.
So do you guys play 3-on-3 or what?
Yeah.
I'm not all that great, but love to play with you guys sometime on a cooperative map.
Okay, yeah, we should be able to arrange that. I know Kali used to play too, but he quit for some reason.
I don't really play much anymore. I kind of got bored of it, so I stopped. I'll probably get back into it at some point, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
As for me, okay. I have actually been playing Civilization 4. I did actually get into it, so that has been my game, and I've been having lots of fun with it. So
I'll have to come and join you on that one.
Yes, you should. You should try it. Have you tried it out since December?
No, not yet. As you know, I have this philosophy where I need to do my work before I play games.
That's a good philosophy to have. That's usually what I do too, actually. Otherwise, I just started a new job last week at everybody's favorite fast food place, McDonald's. Yay! It's a job though, so it's money, so that helps. kind of sucks not having any money to go out and do anything with, you know, or that sort of thing, and it cuts into. It definitely cuts into the summer game buying season on Steam. So it's coming. There will be a summer sale. I know it. And other than that, I've been not doing too much of anything, really. Yeah, I can't think of anything else that's really that interesting.
Okay. And by the way, Team Fortress 2 is now free.
Yay! Free for life. It was just free for the week, but then it was changed to free forever. So, a free game. When does that ever come along?
I know. This spiked the poll results, so now for next week's Monday's PC gaming thing, we are doing TF2.
Apparently. Which is great.
So I need to get the server going in a form that will actually now hopefully be able to support people, because, you know, we generally have better luck with the free games, because if a game is free, more people come, and, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
TF2 events in the past haven't been that great, but...
Yeah. But TF2 is such a fun game if you got people you like, you know, because...
Yeah.
Remember when the three of us would play, me, you, and Mike, and...
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Teamwork, you know? If you play with people you know, then it's a lot easier to be a team.
Yeah. Yeah, and there are a couple of really good servers that are just exclusive to certain communities that are also really good. So, mm-hmm.
And certain maps as well.
Yeah, I mean, 2-4 is one of the classic ones that if you don't have people behind you, then what?
Shane and I actually really hate 2-4 with a passion.
But like this too, actually.
Actually
it doesn't really run it. We don't run 2-4 on our server.
I actually like most every other map, though. Especially the payload maps. I really like the payload maps. And they just came out with a new one with the Uber update that they just came out with. So everyone should also watch the Meet the Medic video because it is absolutely hilarious.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah. I'd heard that that they'd be doing a new Meet the episode. So I should check
Meet
that out.
Medic. It just came out... Yesterday, last night, in fact, about...
The medic and the heavy antics in there are so funny. Oh, your rib broke. Don't worry, they grow back. Then he tells his bird that they don't grow back. Anyways, I think we're done then for this episode of RSBNB Update. So this has once again been RSBNB Update 314 with Howard...
Well, that was the other thing I was going to mention. I was also what got into the Big Bang Theory, so I was starting to
hence the names.
I'm into season 2 now, and it's lots of fun. No. So if anyone is a nerd, like me and other
people,
they probably really like it. It is a sitcom.
Shane, you need to watch it.
It's also a very good one, and it's got a lot of humor. And I haven't seriously laughed as hard at a TV show as I have at that one before. Like, even that's including classics like Futurama and The Simpsons.
Oh, okay. I laughed at 24 when he cut the guy's finger off.
Yeah, but most people don't laugh at that sort of thing, Shane.
Yeah, if we were physically in a room together, I'd start moving away a little bit, scooting away.
No, but that's just how Shane rolls.
Right. Well, that's definitely an earful. Multiple picks, Big Bang Theory, and Adventures of Dr. McNinja.
Yeah.
So it's been RSBNB Update 314 with Asa, a.k.a. What's your Big Bang name again? I forget.
Oh, Kripke.
Kripke, okay. And King Kala, a.k.a. Leonard, and me, who is apparently Sheldon. So
you are definitely Sheldon.
Like everyone.
You are so Sheldon.
Goodbye, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this week's update.